you got your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, back to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're already there because you're following Brother Jared, all you got to do is back up one chapter to chapter number 6. I am going to teach something tonight that I think will be a great benefit to you. I want to say this. This is a little bit away from my style, okay? I want you all to know this. When I teach preachers, my predominant teaching to them is to preach expository and or textual sermons, and sometimes it's hard to identify that. That's just hard to do. However, there's some Bible schools have done this. I think they're improperly. They have improperly done this. And I believe that the majority of our preaching ought to be expository. But I also believe that sometimes we need to deal with a subject in the Word of God, and it's not expository, but topical. And tonight's at least part of this is going to be topical. Here's what I wish you to do for me. How many's got your Bible with you? Wave it at me if you got one. If you have to have a cell phone, wave it, okay? Whatever you got. But I hope you got the Bible. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to follow every place I take you, because I'm taking you somewhere. Sunday morning, I taught Chad's class on Ahithophel and his big problem with bitterness. And by the way, bitterness will kill you. It'll destroy your life. Look at Matthew chapter number 6, and I want you to go down to verse number 9. And this is a prayer that the Lord is teaching his disciples. Now, I want to correct some things. Put in your Bible. I want to correct some things. When I read this to you, I do not want you to refer this. I know culture does, and I know society does, and this is not the Lord's Prayer. Amen. It is not. Okay, I got to tell you, this is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, if you want to know, jot this in your Bible where it's at. It's in John 17. That's the Lord's Prayer. Actually, what this is, you find this also in Luke 11. This is the model prayer, or how you should pray. And it's a model. It's not, you don't have to quote it every day, but I think you should follow the model in this. Now, I'm not going to teach the whole prayer because I have one basic thought. Now, let me illustrate something. And here's why I want you to tune in. Listen to the illustration. What would you do as a parent? What would you do if you knew your children was attending a school located over a toxic waste site? Would that be alarming to you? For the parents of a group of middle school students in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, this question is causing great anxiety and debate. Listed as one of the worst sites in the state, the contaminated groundwater under the school migrated from a manufacturer across the street, and although no one knows how long ago the groundwater was polluted, perhaps as far back as the 1800s, the current owner of the property usually bears the responsibility for managing the cleanup. Toxic waste was released generations ago and continues to disrupt lives today. Now, stay with that part of the illustration. I'll give you the other part after I read a couple of verses. Because I am going to preach on a toxic waste tonight. Look at the passage. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give this day our daily bread. Now listen to verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive others or forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. How many believe that's pretty clear? Look at me. Is that in all y'all's Bible? It's pretty clear, isn't it? Now listen now. Let me restate that illustration part of it. The toxic waste was released generations ago, and it was still disrupting lives even 150 years later. I want to say to you that unforgiveness is a toxic waste. I dare say, I don't know if I have anybody in here that's, you're a drinker. If you are, you need to quit. Amen. I don't probably think there's anybody here smoking dope. If you do, you ought to quit. Amen. I don't even know if I have any whoremongers in here. But if you are, you ought to quit. Amen. But you know, I'm not concerned about those sins with most of you. Because I don't think that's where you deal with every day. I think Jesus must have thought it was a big deal. Because he said, you forgive your debtors. You want your debt forgiven? You forgive somebody else. And if you don't forgive them, here's what he said. I won't forgive you. Let me say it again. If you don't forgive them, I won't forgive you. Now hear me out. Stay with me. And I believe unforgiveness is right in the fabric of our culture. How many believe we're living in an angry world? This is an angry, bitter world. It's in our culture. Hey, by the way, not only is it in the culture of this world, I see it in Christianity. You look at Christianity, I want to tell you what, Christianity's a mess tonight because of this toxin. And then I see it in churches. Hello? I see it in marriages. Can I make a statement? And I want to tell you this, and you can ask Jared Green and Jared Shoemaker because they know my schedule. I have counseled and been around people for 10 weeks in a row. You hear me? And I've had at least one person in my office in the last 10 weeks that's bitter and unforgiving. And I want you to know, you can be the most talented person in the world. You can be the best preacher in the world, the best singer, the most talented deacon in the world. I want you to know something. If you have not got the capacity to forgive, your talent will never mean anything. Are you hearing me? I've seen it ruin people. Can I give y'all a burden in my heart? I could work with people, try to lead people. But ladies and gentlemen, there's one thing I cannot do. I cannot change the human heart. Only one can change your human heart is God. The only recipe I say that can help you tonight is the love of God. So here's what I want to do. If you'll follow me for the next 15, 20 minutes, I'll try to get all this. I don't know if I will. That toxic waste cost that middle school. They had to close it down and build another one. Now let me show you 6 toxic results when you refuse to forgive somebody. Now there may be people in this room right now. You said, preacher, I know what's going on in your mind right now. See, I know how this works. But you don't know what they've done to me. You don't know what's happening in my life. You just don't know, preacher. No, probably don't. But I do know this. Until you forgive, it will destroy you. Now, let me show you six results. Are you willing to follow me in the scripture? Turn with me to Psalms. Let's start there. Can I ask the class a question? What is one of the most powerful tools you have as a Christian? Somebody said it. Who said prayer? Somebody said prayer. Well, you're right. Let me ask you something, Brother Haynes. If there's something in your life that's hindering your prayer, do you not think we ought to get that out of our life? Class, help me. Look at 68 Psalm and verse number 14. Excuse me, 68 Psalm and verse 18. When you get there, say amen. Did I say Psalm 68? 66, I'm sorry. 66, 18. Are you there? Say amen. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You say, well, hold a minute, preacher. Are you telling me not forgiving somebody else is iniquity in my heart? Yes. Because what you'll find out later, what that unforgiveness produces. See, here, hold a minute. I don't believe there's a person in this room that don't want your prayers answered. But I want you to know, I don't want to be too blunt with you, but I'm going to be honest with you. If you got unforgiveness in your heart, your prayers are not being answered. Is it quiet in here? Y'all don't die on me. See, listen, we're a surgeon tonight, see. This is, hey, Brother Roger, this ain't easy stuff now. It's easy for me to get on you about your drinking, and you can quit that. It's easy for me to tell you to quit going to dirty movies, and you can quit that. But I want you to know there's a toxin running in you, and it's called unforgiveness. You say, but you don't know what happened, 15. You know what? I can't bear witness with this, okay? But I know it happens. I'll be honest with you. I try to live a close Christian life. I want to tell you what, if I say something that even is, if somebody gets me angry, okay? And by the way, I've had a lot of them do that. If I say something even the least bit in retaliation, I want you to know something. You're going to find a guy that will apologize for it. I'm just not that way. I can't hold that. And I want to ask you a question. How can a person hold something for 6 months, for 2 weeks? And I know folks that's held, I've seen some things, people holding it for 10 years. I know folks lately held it for 15 years. How can you do that? And ever think your prayers are getting anywhere? No wonder your life's anemic. No wonder you don't have power in your prayer. No wonder you don't have a changed life, because you got the toxin of unforgiveness. Secondly, I want to give you all these, so I better hurry. This is real important. Turn to Ephesians 4:30. Y'all still with me? I hope you're turning to every passage, and I hope you're noting these. I meant to get with Allison early, and I would have had this on PowerPoint. And Allison, it's not your fault, it's my fault, because my schedule's been overwhelming today. Ephesians 4:30. If you're there, say amen. Now, stay with me. I'm going to read 4:30 and 4:31. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not forgiving somebody, I'm not saying you're lost. Okay? You may be, but I'm not saying that. But look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Secondly, write this down. Not only are you ruining your prayer life, but you are wounding the Spirit of God. I want you to know this. It kind of senses that the Spirit of God has feelings. You're hurting the Holy Ghost's feelings. You're grieving Him. You're wounding Him. Ladies and gentlemen, I have seen people come. I've seen people go. I've seen people stay and they'd be around and never deal with it. Never deal with it. And you wonder why they're not spiritual giants. Oh, they may be able to teach a Sunday school. They may be able to do some job that their talent fits them in. But hold a minute. You hear me out. There's a lot of people talented to preach, but that don't mean they had the power of God on them to preach. Brother Ray, a lot of people just wound the Holy Spirit. You know what they're saying to the Holy Spirit? You can have my moral life. I'm not going to drink. You can have you can have my thought life. But I'm going to tell you what you can't have. You cannot make me forgive that person. I won't do it. And when you're not doing it, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. And we face it in ministry every day. I want to tell you something. I'm a leader of this church. And I want y'all to know this. If there was somebody in this church I could not forgive and I would not forgive. And there isn't. Amy, I just wouldn't do it. I'm going to tell you what you get this coming Sunday. You get me, write you a letter. And I'll say, folks, I can't get my heart right. I can't forgive people. I will not serve. But I want y'all to know this. If I even get close to that, I'm getting here. Are y'all listening? Is this something good? I know I'm not preaching hard. I know I'm not. And I don't want to preach hard. I want to teach you tonight. You're wounded in the Spirit of God. And you know, here's what the result is most of the time. When it gets pushed to serve and somebody. And by the way, in leadership, whether you're leading Awana, leading music, leading whatever. If you can't forgive people you work with, you'll never be able to manage people you work with. Am I preaching? I mean, you ain't gonna do it. And you know what happens when you get here's what always happens, see? You blow it, you mess it up, and then you have to spring out and leave, and guess what? You leave everybody wondering and questioning. Let's just tell the truth. The truth is there's things in people's heart they don't get checked up. And they let it go and let it go and let it go. Am I preaching? There may be people in here, maybe you were messed over when you was a kid by your parents. Maybe you were abused. And said, I can't forgive him. Yes, you can. Through Christ. Let me go on. I know I'm going. Y'all still got your Bibles? Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. I probably won't do all six of these. I may just do five of them. I might do six. I don't know what I'm going to do here. I got to hurry. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 10 and 11. If you're there, say amen. I got one of these thumb indexes, and I ain't got there yet. New Bibles are hard to... Okay. How many's there? 2 Corinthians 2 and 10. Number 3, write this down. If you don't forgive, you're ruining your prayer life. If you don't forgive, you are wounding the Spirit of God. If you don't forgive, you are exposing yourself to the devil's influence. Now look at the verses. Are y'all there? Look at verse number 10. To whom you forgive anything, I will forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Listen, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. for we are not ignorant of his devices. I want you to know something. You hear me out. You get that, if that sin is not dealt with, you ain't gonna be under the influence of alcohol. You're gonna be under the influence of the devil. I will tell you what, unforgiveness makes people real mean. I'm talking about good people. I know some good, decent people that have been wounded and messed up just because they would not forgive. And now they're under the Satan's influence. And here's what happens when you get under Satan's influence. You'll start making the wrong decisions. You'll start making decisions out of emotion. Instead of getting on your knees and saying, God, I need to get rid of this. Y'all getting this? Is it helping anybody? You say, oh, I don't need this tonight. Oh, you probably will soon, though, because there'll be somebody mess you up. And you're going to have to forgive them, or you ain't going to be effective. You say, I don't want to. I don't care if you want to or not. You need to. All right, now, I'm skipping one of these, okay? If I can get to it, I will. But it's not my main one. Turn to Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter. This was a tough one. This one right here. I want y'all to get this. Are y'all still with me? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, 15. Hurry over there. I think it's Hebrews 2. Let me see. No, excuse me. Hebrews 12. There goes my glasses. I start seeing double here. 12, 14, 15. Are they? Okay, if you're there now, say amen. Amen. Follow peace with all men. He didn't say follow peace with the people you like. It didn't bother peace with the people that think like you do. He said follow peace with all men. And holiness, without which no man shall see God, see the Lord. Listen to this. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby what? Many be defiled. Fourthly, you are influencing others to adopt your attitude. You know what happens? Folks get unforgiven, they get mad, and then they'll tell some story to somebody. Oh, this is what happened in my life. Without having a check and balance. And you may be listening to it without knowing the other side. Hello? By the way, that's dangerous. You don't want to listen to a bitter person without you know all the facts. Because what it'll do? It'll influence other people. It'll get other people thinking negatively. Am I preaching? I mean, that's just the way it is, folks. I'm preaching a plain, little, simple sermon tonight, but I want you to know something. I see people influenced by negative people who are bitter, who always, by the way, they ought to go on old Rally's no spin zone because all they do spin. Oh, they'll spin a tail the way they want to spin a tail. They'll remove a line here and a word here just to make somebody look bad. But I want you to know something. Hold on, man. You look at me right in my God-given eyeball. It ain't going to change their hearts. Am I preaching? It'll influence them. You know what? I got young preachers around here. What if they come up my office? I mean, they're not going to sit behind the pulpit because I can cover that up. But what if one of these young'uns, and you can tell it if you want to. Because I'm challenging you right now. I don't think I've ever pumped negativity in you. It's not my job. Amen. If I influence one of these kids, with a bad attitude towards somebody, it'd be awful. Here's what people have to do. When they get bitter, they got to defend their position. They got to down everybody they can. They won't deal with their sin. They won't deal with it. They just want to blame somebody. Am I preaching? Now, y'all ain't blind to it. You know it happens every day. You see it in your family. You see it in friends. I'm 65 and a half. I'll be 66 in July. I'll be honest with you. Last week or so, I was wondering if I was going to live much longer. I ain't slept anywhere. I've slept the last two nights, though, I have. I haven't felt good. I don't know how long I got. I got atrial fib. I know it could throw into a blood clot. And I want you to know something. When I preach, maybe I die right in front of you. This is me. I want you to be able to walk by my casket and say, that boy, love God. And I know he loved me. And I know he went the extra mile. Are y'all with me? I got to give you two more. Lord God, this has got me all emotional tonight for some reason. I am a little emotional with this. This is what I deal with every day. I see it all the time. Number six or five. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. Go there quick. You're in there anyway, aren't you? If you're saved and you have unforgiveness, here's what you're inviting. You're inviting God's correction in your life. The Bible says, and ye have forsaken, this verse 5 of chapter 12, the exhortation who is speaking unto you and unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I want you to know something. I don't care if it's an attitude. I don't care if it's a habit. I don't care what sin it is. If you do not get it corrected, God's going to correct you. Can I tell you, preacher, you scare me to death. I listen to him every Sunday. I listen to him all the time. He literally scared me to death. He had revival fires. The one that Glenn Matthews has now, that's what he had. His name was Guy Smith. He said, some of you are going to sin till you send away your day of grace and God's going to kill you. And I thought, what are you doing, man? You're making me a nervous wreck. He said, hey, listen to me. I'm talking to you right on this radio. Just touch that radio, buddy. You love a drop dead. I said, Lord God, I'm getting out of here. But you know what? You tell me. You hear me. You're inviting something bad to happen if you don't get it cleaned out. Lastly, and I'm done, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20 and 21. I'm done. I've got to get this in 1 minute. 2 Corinthians, Timothy 2, 20 and 21. If you're there, say amen. Y'all done pretty good. Number six, you are crippling your usefulness to God if you will not forgive. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and earth and of honor and the son to dishonor. And if any man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared for every good work. I really believe God's using me right now as much as he ever has. But if I get something in my life that I will not purge out, he'll quit using me. And he'll quit using you. Let me ask you tonight. Look at me. And I want the pianist to come. I want you to stand. If you're hurt tonight, maybe somebody's hurt you. And you're confused tonight. And the devil's tempting you to either take sides or tempting you to have a bad feeling towards somebody. Can I ask you to do something for me? Can I ask you to sit by your seat, come around this altar and say, I want to be pure. I want to be used of God. I want my life to count for God. Will you do that? Our Father, thank you for this moment with our people. God, help us none. None of us have anything in our hearts that would hinder us from our usefulness. And God, if we're unforgiving, God, help us. There may be people here that's being misused, messed up, messed over. But God, they need to forgive. Help them tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.